going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What I saw yesterday was a place that had way too many people. I was like, how are all these people in Green Bay?
Yeah,
how are they getting home?
There's a lot to get to. There really, really is. We are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Of course, we are happy to talk to you on this second day of the draft. As we get it going, we have our Score video team. It is Jenna Duddleston, Connor O'Donnell, and Matt Anaya. You can go to twitch.tv/Chicago670 to the Score to see us there. Feel free to comment. We do have the text line up and running, 312-644-6767. That number will be handy for you because we are hoping that the PDF version of Who's Your Guy will still be on our computers. So we're going to do Who's Your Guy at 11:25 to round out the week. That's your note there. We also have our producing crew, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer helping us out. And of course, we've got to talk about what happened with the draft. I think we got to start with the overall thoughts. You know, yes, we know a lot about what this offense looks like now when it comes to what we've seen. You know, and I think that that is important to note. We know a little bit more about Ben Johnson's offense, but when it comes to what we know about the draft overall, a lot of things happened that we perhaps suspected, but just weren't sure if a couple teams were going to zig when they were expected to zag, and that did not take place. You and I thought, for example, we said it last night on the draft show, that we thought that Kelvin Banks Jr. was going to be available for the Bears, and we are one pick too late. Saints end up taking him at 9. As you mentioned, the offensive linemen go early. Will Campbell, 4th overall to the Patriots. The Jets take Armon Membu. That, I think, was the wild card because we knew so much. Talk was surrounding the Jets and Tyler Warren. So as soon as I saw that, you know, I texted you guys, and I was like, uh-oh, he might be available.
I'm like I said, I'm shocked that there were two tight ends available at 10. I thought somebody was going to take either Colston Loveland, more likely Tyler Warren before them. But the problem I have with this draft, that's the wrong terminology. The concerning thing for me about this draft is, as a selfish person who wants to know what's what, I don't know what's what, even after today, because they weren't going to take the 4th tackle with the 10th pick. So it kind of landed in their lap to take a tight end. Now, I can clearly see Ben Johnson values Colston Loveland and his skills over Tyler Warren and his skills, who was taken 4 picks later by the Indianapolis Colts. So you learn a little bit about maybe who's running the draft, maybe not, but just the fact that, you know, obviously offense is prioritized and Ben Johnson's got a guy that he's going to love using based on what we know about Colston Loveland.
I mean, there it is, right? So we now know what this is going to look like a little bit better, but let's start with like the obvious here before we even get to Colston Loveland. I feel like after everything we went through watching the draft last year, trying to figure out what the Bears were going to do initially. Then we all realized they're taking Caleb Williams somewhere around the combine. Like, that was a no-doubter. Then we're getting ready for Caleb Williams. There's so much hype. You see the scream. I feel like this year was the exact opposite. We're just like, and Cam Ward was drafted.
So, he was the number one overall pick, right, Cam Ward, by the Titans?
Yeah, it's just like, Cam Ward,
I cannot remember a quarterback being taken number one overall with as little fanfare as Cam Ward. And I was trying to figure out, why is this? Is it because he's not thought of as a guy with the highest of ceilings, as in franchise-altering? Although, I would argue if you draft anyone at number one overall, he's franchise-altering. In a good or a bad way, because good, he does his job. Bad, you've really set your franchise back by drafting a number one overall quarterback that can't play.
That's the risk you take every time, right? And that's why we saw the quarterback piece of this that we thought was going to drive it change what we were seeing overall. I feel like everybody, including observers, had contingencies. Number one, this is the scenario that happens if Jaxon Dart, Cam Ward, and Shedeur Sanders were all off the board before you got to your pick, right?
Right.
There was that plan. Then there was the plan of, say, here's how we think the draft is going to go. And I feel like it did, despite a little movement at the top with Jacksonville and Cleveland. I felt like it did follow those lines where you're saying, you know, here's how we think this is going to go. You knew Travis Hunter was going to go before the Bears had a pick. Not that that would have affected what they were doing, but that's a good example. You had an idea that Ashton Jeanty was going to go. So knowing those things and knowing who the usual suspects were that everybody talked about, you had that plan. And then you had the maybe, if somehow something changes, this is what we need and this is who's available. Number one, we see that the Bears draft for need. There was a job opening for somebody to stretch the seam, for somebody to be a slot type, for somebody to be in that part of the field. You know exactly what Colston Loveland does. And now you know exactly a little bit more. Well, I shouldn't say exactly, but I have a way better idea of how this offense is going to look.
Yeah, that part is undeniable based on, you know, we just heard in our open, tear it down to the studs. And you can argue that it's not going to be all the way down to the studs, because this system's going to have two tight ends a lot of the time on the field, and that makes it look like, I don't know that I'm necessarily there yet with that. I think more evidence needs to be presented before I jump on that particular bandwagon. But I do know offense is important. They clearly have prioritized making the offense as good as possible with the best personnel. That should be interesting to see how that works out. The other thing is, from a defensive standpoint, now you're looking at day two a little differently from a Bears standpoint. The tight end is there. You still need offensive line help, a left tackle. You still need defensive line help, an edge. You still need a running back. You still need probably some secondary help. There's a lot of things that need to be addressed. I'm curious to see how they address those things at 39 and 41. But the other thing is, you talked about the three quarterbacks being taken before the 10th pick. The fact that only one was taken, that was really the difference maker in this, because if just one more quarterback is taken, then that shoves everybody down. Now we have a different type of decision to make, and it may have ended up in the same result, but Kelvin Banks Jr. is also available perhaps.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was the calculus that we were looking at. But also, like, for example, Kelvin Banks Jr. goes, and I'm reminded that the Saints every year for 7 years have drafted offensive or defensive line in the first round.
Call that consistency.
Correct. And it also tells you a lot about how they value those positions and how they want to lock people down with that premier pick. So I like the formula, because I think it is successful. What the Saints have done cap-wise around all of this is absolutely chaotic and terrifying. But
Malpractice comes to mind.
When it comes to this piece of it, you know, that makes sense. And other teams know that too. You know, for example, we talked a lot about when the Bears were putting this coaching staff together, how a lot of roads led back to Sean Payton, who famously previously was on the Saints. Perhaps that colors the front office's decision or knowledge, knowing that they might take line ahead of them. The concept of them taking a quarterback, regardless of what's going on with Derek Carr's health, you know, may not be the case. So I felt like that was, you know, institutional knowledge that you have some concept of. Abdul Carter going to the Giants, that shut a lot of people up about speculation. They absolutely took the best player available.
Shut me up, Layla, because I was like, maybe if you want to trade and give up one of those second-round picks, if you can do it, do it. But then I saw what happened to get the second round pick. I was like, or the number two overall pick in Travis Hunter. I was like, okay, don't give up stuff like that. They're not in a position to give up stuff like that.
The Browns, if indeed Mason Graham was the target, boy, did they play that well.
Played it excellently. Because
you get assets and you get your guy.
And you still, now your defense looks really, really, really good. And you can add to that throughout the rest of this draft because of the way whether you want to call them pick swaps or whatever, because there were more parts to that trade. And then when Ashton Jeanty went off the board at 6, I was like, okay, don't have to worry about trading up for him anymore. Because that was my real concern. It's like, do not trade up for Ashton Jeanty. So overall, I look at day one for the Bears. I'm like, this was a successful day by my measurements.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I can't remember, though, a draft that was so telltale in what the decision-making process was. And I think it's because we all had the same pool of players that we knew was going at the top. This is where the details start to play in these second and third rounds. But I can't recall a draft where you're like, oh, clearly Pete Carroll wanted, you know, the functioning running back, like the star RB to rebuild the offense in Las Vegas. Oh, is that who he sees the Marshawn Lynch being and what you know he's bringing to the table? Same with the Bears. Oh, okay, Ben Johnson. We talk so much about tight ends. Clearly this is what he wants us to look like. It's not stripping down to the studs. At this point, it might be replacing the wallpaper. If that's the case, I'm good with it. But either way, we have to see what happens in these next rounds. Looking at the rest of the draft, for example, you know, Cleveland takes a risk, trades down, catches Jacksonville. A good idea when you consider new head coach. You know, and you know that there's going to be some talent shuffle there. Now, are Jags fans happy about what they gave up to get Travis Hunter? That's a better question. You knew where Will Campbell was going to go, theoretically. You knew Armon. I think the biggest wild card was whether or not the Jets were going to go tight end. They decide they want to take an offensive tackle, best player available. Panthers take a receiver that Nate Tice, for example, was very bullish on. A lot of the in-the-know ball knowers, I feel like, really liked Hetero and McMillan. Saints go with the line, which they have done time and time again. That left the Bears with perhaps an obvious choice to make. The only difference was they took the guy that a lot of people think isn't the guy.
And so that's where the conversation begins, right? When you talk about Colston Loveland versus Tyler Warren, I feel like we've heard from so many different people about what it is and what it ain't, right? Because Tyler Warren was the guy for so long, and then last month or so, you start hearing mumblings of, well, you know, this other guy is just as good, if not better. And I was like, wait, what? And so I had people explaining to me on these very airwaves. And I was like, okay, that actually makes sense. I can get with that. And they obviously watch way more tape than I do, because I watch a couple of YouTube videos and I'm like, okay, cool.
Who doesn't love a good YouTube video? And then there were some other surprises. The late picks were the surprises. It wasn't just Shedeur Sanders watching from his house in East Texas, trying to figure out where he's going to go.
Did you see his throne room, by the way?
Amazing. Just had it built for this.
Some would call it legendary.
Fair enough. Also, I was laughing because on ESPN, they were showing video of Emmitt Smith making the draft cop with Jeanty, size obviously being the big factor here. And who is he running past on the Falcons to the end zone in one of those videos?
Is it a guy
21?
Is it a guy with the name Sanders on his back? Is that what you're saying?
Does his name rhyme with primetime?
Yes.
I got a good kick out of that. The Giants? Okay, as it stands right now, the Giants quarterback room is as follows. We know what's going to happen personnel-wise. You can't carry four quarterbacks. It's Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, Tommy DeVito, and Jackson Dart.
To be a fly in the wall when an actual meeting is not going on and they're just shooting the crap, that would be amazing. What are they talking about? Who's leading that discussion?
I want the reality show yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, this needs to be the new Hard Knocks in season.
The Giants don't do reality shows
forget
anymore.
Forget even Joe Shane. No, make an exception for your quarterbacks. This is incredible.
They had a really bad experience the last time they let the reality TV cameras in. A really bad situation.
And we are going to talk so much draft, obviously, but I also want to bring this up right before we go. man, if the Eagles don't do it again, taking advantage of Jahad Campbell going down in the draft, like falling, unfortunately, injuries an issue there. But from what they see and from, again, what a lot of people are talking about when it comes to his potential, every time that they take a risk on somebody, and even if it was just trading up one spot.
The fact that who they traded with, like, don't let Howie Roseman do this to you.
Hi, I know we beat you in the Super Bowl and all, but can we have that pick? Yeah, thanks.
Number one on the position board, pretty much all the way around, and now he's a Philadelphia Eagle, and you're looking at it like, the Eagles strike again.
Yeah, that was a little savvy pick right there. And then the Ravens getting Malachi Starks.
Yeah.
Makes sense, doesn't it? It's
on that team, absolutely.
The other piece of this, too, is the Steelers do not go quarterback. And they drafted a defensive tackle in Derek Harmon, which just makes it make less sense.
What did make sense is the Giants drafting back into the first round for a quarterback. But it wasn't the one that maybe you thought it was going to be. And now I'm just wondering, where will Shedeur Sanders end up?
That's it.
I have no idea. But somebody, he's going to at least have an extra large chip on his shoulder. Extra large.
I hate it. I hate it when so many people focus on one particular player and then stuff like this happens. I'll never forget when I was covering Texas and Colt McCoy ends up falling to the third round. And just the what it does to an individual, you know, was it Brady Quinn who also for Notre Dame?
He fell a long ways.
Yeah, and just the pain when you're watching them and feeling so bad for them when all this is going on, when it's supposed to be a happy moment, man.